do it again on my album as well.
I want to talk about that right now because, you know, as far as playing with music is concerned, your last album, to me at least, mm-hmm. did that more than any other Strange release that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because I was like...
Well, it's going to because I sing too. Nobody else really sings. UB sings a little bit. Actually, Ritz does a little bit too, but like... and Stevie too.
Stevie.
And
yeah, yeah.
So everybody kind of like... And I'm not discounting them, but I'm saying like I am... I probably would consider myself a singer first.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where they do melodic things, but they're probably MCs first and then they can sing. Well, I sing and I'm an MC too. But, you know, but I say that singer first because that's where I started. Because I don't necessarily think that I sing better than I rap because I know that I'm a bona fide MC for real.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I actually, singing is my background. Singing is where I come from. And so, it's going to set me apart a bit, and it's going to be, like you said, bigger than hip-hop.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have songs where I just sing. And actually, on this new project, this is going to be... I'm not saying we're not rapping on this, because I will never abandon that. But this is going to be my first singing album.
Really? Dude.
Yeah, and I'm not saying R&B. I'm not saying R&B because everybody's like, do R&B. It doesn't mean R&B. It means singing because I sing as many different rap styles I got a lot of different singing styles from reggae to R&B to opera to, you know what I'm saying, to rock to pop to, you know what I'm saying? So this is going to be the first ever Strange Music and or Chris Calico singing release.
Man, it's that I can't wait because we were talking. You were just talking about as many different rap styles as you have. Man, you got so many voices general. Like, and I really mean this with all the sincerity I can muster. Is that you're one of the most versatile voice smiths that I've ever heard in music.
Yeah,
period.
Man. Yeah,
it's kind of crazy when you have so many tools. Is it like difficult for you to decide to whittle it down to an album's worth? Because, man,
sometimes,
yeah,
for the most part, the beat tells me what to do. And now if I create a song, like how I create the production with Seven, if we co-produce it, like the music would tell me what to do. Like when we created Spaz, because we were talking about Spaz earlier, I knew, I called Seven, I said, man, I wanted to go I was at the gym and it just popped into my head. Yeah. So, and I was like, okay, now what type of texture voice do I want to use with this? And I knew I wanted a hook to say, if you feel like it, go insane, then spaz, spaz. So I was like, I wanted it to, it's got to feel mean because that beat feels mean. So I knew I had to go, if you feel like going, you know, I knew I had to attack it with that kind of intensity. You know what I'm saying? So the music will tell me what to do.
Well, I mean, but from the outset, like before you even start that process,
right,
because you got to decide, well, you know, maybe not. I mean, but you got to be like, this is going to be a hip hop album, or I want to do more like, I remember Kicking and Screaming. You were combining like 50 stuff with trap and it was just all kinds of stuff, man.
Yeah,
and so,
man,
it's, but
I
when you
that.
Have all those tools in your arsenal, man, I guess, you know, when you have someone like Seven who's like giving you stuff on a plate and just being like, and it gets you excited, that probably makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, man, like I said, I don't decide until as soon as I hear the beat, it just happens. When I heard Welcome to the Midwest, you know what I'm saying, when I was listening to it, I remember actually I had an argument with Trav and I was super pissed off. And Tech was like, man, channel that energy. I want you to write Welcome to the Midwest. It's a song called Welcome to the Midwest. I'd already heard the beat and he was like, man, just take that anger and make something creative about it. Because we're all brothers, man. So we're family. So we're going to fight.
Yeah. No,
and so as soon as I heard... And I had never heard anything that sounded like even that beat, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. The melody or nothing. And it just, I was just following on her. When I heard the strings, it made me just say, hey, man, I want to sing this like Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin or something. And I wrote the hook. And I just wrote it like, it doesn't really matter where you go, where you been. Dang. kept thinking the words "beautiful foreign you've been in, gonna play rain." I was like, the way that that's moving sounds like an old 50s song or something. So I was nervous to tell Ted because I was like, man, we try stuff, but I don't know if I can try this one. And so I was like, hey, man, what do you think if I sang this like Frank Sinatra? And he was like, what do you mean? I said, so the hook's going to say, doesn't really matter where you go, where you been. I sang the whole thing. I said, but just imagine if I sang it like, it doesn't really matter where you go, where you've been, beautiful foreign lands you've been in, gunplay rain, sun ray shine, stay inside, you should be fine. And he was like, dude, that's brilliant. On a rap song? Hell yeah. Boom, and we knocked it. You know what I'm saying? Ended up being one of the biggest songs with our fans. Like, ever. As soon as we do that, the whole place is
rocking
with us, man. You know what I mean? So, it's a blessing, man, to be able to... I said it in Strange Music Box, man. I'm just playing with music. It's a blessing for us to be able to try it, and it works, and people love it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Usually, so, you don't get all three of them.
Yeah, man, because you sometimes you'd be experimental, and you'll lose them.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, fortunately, man, you know, we don't really waste any songs. We don't have songs that we recorded and no one's heard. We don't have those. We do everything we record is out there.
Right.
So, thank God it's worked to this point, you know?
And well, like I was saying about the last album, when I heard it, like, I was like, man, and I mean this in the best way, I was like, Chris went into a studio and just lost his damn mind.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
The thing about it, man, is that
Son of Sam for everyone
else. Son of Sam,
yeah.
I've told my wife several times that I felt like I wanted to check into a mental institution because my brain won't stop and it thinks all kind of crazy and inappropriate, all kind of things. So it's like I have to have this creative area. I have to have this creative platform. My brain needs food to eat on. If you don't eat food and if you don't put food into your body, your stomach will make a lot more noises because it's looking to do that process that it does, that it's supposed to be doing. Right. So it'll start messing with that's sometimes that you have indigestion and stuff like that because these acids are looking for somewhere to go. Your stomach is looking for something to process. My brain works like that. Everybody's brain works like that to a certain extent, but my brain kind of overdoes it. So my brain needs something to process. If I'm just sitting and relaxing, even though I would love to do that, I feel like I'm going crazy. If I'm not on tour, I feel like I'm going crazy. If I'm not, and I love my children and I love to spend time with my family, but I literally feel like, oh my God, I have to get on this road. I have to be on that stage. I have to be creating. So I'm saying all that to say that part that affects me negatively affects me overwhelmingly positively too, because I can think of, for some reason, dude, I can think of hooks like really quickly. Tech, for example, says, man, I want to do a song called Leave Me Alone, man. I'm tired of getting these. You know, cause he said even on his new album, like the more successful he gets, the more it's like negative thing comments happen and old friends and old this and that. You know what I mean? And so he was like, man, I want to write this song called Leave Me Alone. I literally wrote that hook in like 30 seconds. It just all hit me. He walked to the bathroom and I was like, stay away from me. Please stay far away from me. Leave me by my lonely. Just let me be. Okay, that's the first half. Second half, stay away from me. I'll do that again. Please stay far away from me. Leave me by my lonely. It was cool to repeat. Just leave me alone. Okay. He came out the bathroom. I had it. I'm like, here's the hook.
That's so,
you know what I'm saying?
That's so crazy.
But it's like, because my brain is moving like that, man, it's like a lot of creative people do have these emotional and mental problems, as we saw with Robin Williams. I always thought that about Robin Williams. When I saw him back in the day doing stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
I used to think, dang, man, he's like really, really bonkers. I wonder. And then when I started going through my things, I was thinking about all the celebrities that are super creative, and I'm like, man, I wonder if they go through this. And then I would see evidence of it, you know what I'm saying? Actually, when he committed suicide, dude, it like freaked me out, because I knew I identified with him, not from the suicide standpoint, but from the suicide standpoint too, because I've been there several times. But I knew that his brain was messing with him like mine does. And I know that it works overwhelmingly positive and overwhelmingly negatively.
Oh yeah, for you know all that brilliant stand up, you know, that he does, where you're just like, where does he get that from? I mean, it's
these dudes are wired differently. We are wired when we're these kind of people who can be creative this quickly and this in this elite way. There is a drawback, because that's why I think a lot of celebrities, a lot of artists are, you know, drug addicts and have a problem with alcohol, or have a problem with sex, or have a problem with something. You know what I'm saying? Keep maintaining relationships with religion, with all kind of these different things, man, because we're just wired differently. And I actually went and had all my brain chemicals tested.
I didn't know you could do that.
You can. You can go and have your norepinephrine, your dopamine, your serotonin, my testosterone, all these different things tested, man. And they were all over the place. They were so abnormal. And this lady said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a musician," because she didn't know me. And she was like, I knew you were creative, because every time I see creative people that come in here and we treat them, they always are all over the charts. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yeah, I thought so.
Well, I mean, you know, from a fan's standpoint, you know, it's crazy, man, because, you know, we look at
part of our pain. That's what happens.
It's like a messianic type thing. You go through this pain and create this beautiful stuff that helps other people deal with their pain.
Yep.
That's crazy.
The trade-off is, man, is that, you know, when I am on tour, there's not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't come up and say, "I was going to commit suicide when I started listening to your music." Every day, at least one person says that to me when I'm on tour. "Thank you for helping me." Or they come up and they cry. That's why I wrote Scars, because I was like, hopefully it's something that I can say to help people. And so maybe I heard a quote, and I don't know how true it is, but they say sometimes great men aren't supposed to necessarily be happy, but they're supposed to be great.
Yeah. So yeah, because sometimes you,
I don't know.
Sometimes you got to wonder, man. Like, man, you got to think, like, oh man, I really envy the dentist that can just go to the dentist's office and fix teeth and go home and just do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And their life is, it's just fine, happy, functional.
But maybe if I was wired like that, man, it would be okay. But actually, being a dentist.
But I'm saying, I wish I was wired.
Yeah, like, I was wired.
Yeah, I envy you. But yeah, you know what? But then everyone else, they envy you. So, there's trade-offs all over the place, man.
Just give me a song title, dude. I got to put it in my phone. Wired. That's a good song title.
All right. Well, shit,
bam,
man.
There we go.
It's so crazy, man. I see that happening a lot around here. You guys pick up inspiration from just everywhere, which makes a lot of sense.
Music a lot of times is an imitation of life, just like movies. So you're going to be inspired by life. Life is happening right now as we're talking, you know, as we're having this conversation. So, boom, there's some inspiration right there.
I do want to ask about, like, we were talking about all the tools that you have in your musical toolbox, man. I wonder, do you ever think 10, 20, 30 years about jumping into different genres? Because I could see you, I could see you being an old jazz cat. I could see you doing blues and killing it. I could see you doing all kinds of things. You know, when hip hop pays off and you're like, now I can do some other stuff that isn't for, you know, packing arenas or you know, or venues or whatever. Maybe you still will. But
I want to, man. I really want to. It's so funny, man, because I want to do a straight hood rap album, and I want to also do. I would love to be the lead singer of a rock band. Like, I want to put a band together and just do tour with my band. Like, it's not called Chris Calico, blah 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 blah. It's not called Tech Nine. It's just
the band. The band is
the band's name. And then I really want to do that, because, you know, fortunately I can do rock. And I can do rap. I can do reggae in a reggae band if I really wanted to. I mean, a pop boy band, anything, dude. You know what I'm saying? So I think I definitely will be doing that. I'm really interested in venturing off. And I actually already started doing it and writing for other artists, too. Because if I'm not doing this all, if I'm not necessarily in doing all of these different genres of music, which I put a lot of them on my albums anyway,
for sure,
I would love to be writing some big hits for other artist, you know.
I could see you being pretty lucrative in that. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of times at the Grammys, man, like Song of the Year, mm-hmm, they hand that out. It's not the artist that gets it.
Yeah.
It's the songwriter. It's some certain category. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes, man, that we don't know about. We only know who you know, Janet Jackson is, but we don't know who wrote a lot of these songs that she's singing.
And I've written some actually for some other artists that I wrote, matter of fact, I wrote a song. He didn't even use it, but people don't even know. I wrote this song for Enrique Iglesias like 4 years ago.
No kidding.
But he didn't use it, though. He recorded it. From what I heard, he recorded it, but he didn't put it on his record. And then T-Pain and myself, you know, we've written several records together, too, and that he has just archived.
Yeah, T-Pain is just like resting on in his mansion right now, man.
He dropped a couple singles though.
He has this year, but
he's coming out too.
Yeah.
He got what?
He got Gangsta Grills mixtape coming out. Oh, drama.
He's a hell of a rapper though, for real. T-Pain's like a dope rapper. He's a brilliant dude too.
He really is.
And we've had conversations about how that other side can affect you too, because he's gone through that too.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this.
He has to be. He's a genius. He's got to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that usually goes hand in hand. I'm trying to think of, there's only one guy who seems reasonably well-adjusted and who has that kind of output, and that was Jay-Z. He's like the cool guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He also slang.
He's still a tortured soul. Like, you'll hear in his lines, like, I still hear fiends scream in my dreams.
Oh, yeah. And that song he had with Jeezy.
Yeah, I think he is affected by it, because he's got a really great mind as well, and you know, just everybody that I know that's creative, man, is just a little bit to the left like that. Like Tech seems well adjusted, but he's crazy in his own way. Yeah, sometimes I just shake my head and he's like, "What?"
Oh, we saw that Montreality interview not too long ago where he's talking about the scalding water on his balls.
Exactly. And you see my reaction?
It was awesome, too.
Dude, the best interviews are us together.
They are,
because it's so real. Like, we're not
you and the interviewer are discovering things at the same time.
Yes. I'm like, "What?" What are you talking about right now? So, see, that cultural thing might be, he equals it out for the brothers, because things that I know, most of the cats that I know, the black cats I know, he is just not that.
Yeah, no. And from like hearing about his upbringing, or like how he grew up, the decisions he's made from a young age.
And I knew he was different, man. You know, I always known he was different, and of course, I don't know what he does with his balls, but that was like, nigga, what?
Yeah.
I know he keeps it real in his lyrics, but I'm like, occasionally you got to throw some shit in there that just rhymes. But I'm like, you really do like that? I thought that was just in a song. He's like, nah, sometimes I do it myself. I was thinking like, maybe, okay, you kind of super freak with it, so maybe you let the girl do that. He's like, no, I pour the shit on myself when I'm by myself.
That's what I thought,
like,
too.
Motherfucker, have you been back here doing this while we've been on this bus? And have I been on the bus while you were doing that? If I've been on the bus while you were doing that, I'm fucking offended right now. I'm so offended.
No, I know. From listening to the song, I thought he was just talking about some freaky shit, but he's
just talking about he's just watching, I guess, reruns of Martin, and then he just, you know what? You know what this episode of Martin needs? Scalding hot water on my balls. So I don't know.
Well, rein it back into your album. I want to ask, like, have you started recording? Have you started sketching out ideas for this? You know, I know you said you want this to be all singing, but
I'm sketching a vibe out right now. I got a couple of beats.
That's usually how it starts.
I got a couple of beats. I got five beats from Jay White, the other guy that most of the time my album is a combination of Seven, Young Fire, and Jay White. Those are my three.
Son of Sam. Jay White's dope, man. Yeah. Jay White did Girls Like That.
Yeah.
He did Nighttime.
He did Nighttime.
Speaking of predating, Girls Like That totally predated the Mustard Wave type shit that's coming out now, in my opinion.
Dude, it was before it.
Yeah.
The Mustard Wave came out like right after that.
Yeah.
It sounds like a mustard on a beat. You know what I mean? But that's really dope. You know what I'm saying? That didn't have anything to do with me. That was Jay White's creativity.
For sure, for sure.
He sent me that beat, and I was like, damn, that's dope.
It's hot. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, actually, the funny thing is, when he sent it to me, I liked the beat, but I planned on it being an extra song. You know, we do sometimes we do exclusive digital downloads for like a Best Buy or iTunes and things like that. So I planned on it being that, and I recorded it. I got busy on it. I recorded the hook, and then I was like, you know what, Busy? I want you to do the hook. I like your voice. And so I had him do it.
That was cool how you did that.
I was like, you know what? This is a single.
Yeah.
Boom. We put it out.
That was dope how you did that. When you put Busy on the hook, there's not a lot of cats that, I don't know, man. Because you could have very easily done your own hook.
Yeah.
You can always do that.
There's a version that no one's ever heard that's just got me doing the whole song. And I did the hook and everything. But I thought his voice was dope, man. He's got a very unique voice, and I knew it would sound better with him on it. So I do what's good for the song, you know, not
for
just
sure.
being selfish.
For
you know?
Sure. Shout out to Busy from Topeka, Kansas. Yeah. Look him up, actually. We played.
Dude can spit like a motherfucker.
Yeah, he really can.
He's hard, man.
Yeah.
He needs to, he for real, like I always thought, I never really told him this, but, and I'll say it here, hopefully he hears this, is that I also want to eventually put out artists. But you got to be like, have that something about you. It ain't just that you can rap. It's not just that you can sing. There's a gazillion. Every third person raps or sings or dances. You got to have that it factor, man. And he's got it. I would love for him to be an artist that would come under my wing and I'd put him out. I would love to do it. I never told him that, but
I'd love to see that, man.
Yeah, man.
I'd love to see that. We've been playing a song of his called Pop Off.
Mm-hmm.
And, shit's dope. He's dope. He's really dope.
And I owe him a verse, so I need to get that done too.
All right. Well, I guess we're about to wrap this up, and this has turned into, usually we have a section after the interview, but we're having this interview take up both sections. This is a Chris Calico special.
Hello.
Right here. And I want to say, before we close this up, is there anything you want to, anything we can look forward to? You got an album coming out this year.
I got an album coming out, and I haven't decided on the name. I got two different titles. That I'm working with right now because I thought of one title, but then I'm like, dang, and all of a sudden I felt this other title emerge. I don't know, one of them might be the EP, but it's definitely coming out from what we talked from the meeting that we just have in July is when it will be released. I think first week in July, I believe.
Exclusive.
That's a tentative date right now. So
okay.
Hopefully that's going to be the date, and that's going to be the time, but I like having summer releases because I feel like I'll customize the album to feel like something you should listen to in the summertime.
Dope, yeah.
Because there's definitely certain songs that remind you of a certain atmosphere, mm-hmm. or a certain, does it feel like nighttime? Nighttime, when I got that beat, it sounded like nighttime.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I'm like, I got a college record nighttime. And so I definitely would do something that, you know, a lot of music that feels like summertime, whatever. You know?
Plus, it's a lot easier to shoot, or I would say more pleasant to shoot like 10 videos for your album during the summer. So,
which is what, you know, that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know that's going to happen.
You know I'm coming with the videos.
All right, man. Well, Chris Calico, thank you very much for stopping by, man. We really appreciate it. It's been a while. Like you said, it's been a while since we've seen you, man.
Tucked, man. I'm tucked. I'm looking like a vagrant right now, purposely. I'm looking like a vagrant right now, man. I was just working. Dude, last week, my wife was like, and I'm a super clean cat, man, and I stay, like, crispied up. I even tell dudes how to get their beard, like how to do the blackout on the beard to make it look crispier, not to cover up anything, but cover up gray or nothing, but, like, to make it look really crispy in their hairlines. I mean, I ain't did nothing. I spent, like, 4 days just working out, no shower. I'm like, I'm trying to be grimy. Matter of fact, and when it's time for me to write, I don't want to clean up nothing. I need some junk around. I need to get in that mode like all the way. If it's too nice, I feel like my album doesn't come out right.
Okay.
So once I get that don't mean I'm not showering.
No, I get it.
That was just for those couple of days. But last night I was like, all right, I'm doing these 2-a-day workouts. I have to submerge myself into this place. You know what I'm saying? It's funny because I'll almost, you know, when I say my mind goes to these dark places, I almost invite it when it's time for my album, and I'll dive head first into it. You know what I mean? It's messed up because sometimes when I'm done with the project, it's a little hard to come out of it.
Oh yeah. You know, and your wife is just like, God damn it.
Yeah, she's like, I told her, I'm like, I even have this song called Get Away. I told her, I'm like, you should really get away from me.
Yeah.
You probably would do so much better with a 9-to-5 minister who's a doctor. You know what I'm saying? And like, instead of this psychotic husband that you have, baby, that leaves for 8 months a year. You know what I mean? And she's like, I want you. I need you. You know what I'm saying? I love you. You are like a brilliant dude. You have just the right amount of, you're like a spiritual person, and you got the right amount of just a little bit of street edge and just all of the things that are attractive to me. So I'm like, okay. You go ahead and take this torture then.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when a girl says that, you got to be like, I'm going to hold on to this one because this chick is crazy enough to love me.
She's crazy enough to love me. She's the best. Besides my mother, man, she's like the best woman I've ever met.
Nah, she's down, man. I got to meet her at the Kill for Your Love and Shoot, and she's on that song. And she was just down, man. She down as hell, man.
She's down for me no matter what, man. Like, no matter what. You know what I'm saying? So you do. You got to hold on when you get that kind of woman in your life, man. And she pushes me, like I said.
That's dope.
She's always pushing me to, like, be great.
Well, shout outs to Crystal, man. And for all, and for all you crazy people out there, there is someone out there for you. All right, we got.
You might have to search through a couple of them to get to.
Yeah.
You might have to kiss a few frogs to find one. But
yeah.
There we go.
But you're giving hope for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, there's hope for psychotic fat guys with vitiligo. If you hit that shoe, you couldn't get a girl.
All right, man. Once again, we appreciate you being on, dude.
Yeah, man.
And seems like you're pretty focused this year, man. You didn't have an album come out last year. Not too many releases on the stable.
Nope.
So it's like, you, I can tell, man, you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready, and they're ready too, man. The people really been tweeting me about, like, man, when are we getting another Chris Calico project? So that means, like, I got all this stored up. I'm about to – that sounds like a sexual reference. I got all this stored up, so I'm going to shoot my wide this year.
About ready to squirt.
Album title you've been toying with?
Shoot my wide, yes.
With the hit single, Squirt Lotto.
Squirt Lotto, yes. Damn, I forgot to put that in my phone, too.
All right, man. Well, this has been the Mid-Morning Grind with our special guest, Chris Calico. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at IndieGrind-. Follow Chris Calico on Twitter at Chris Calico.
At Chris Calico.
And Instagram and Facebook and the whole nine.
It's all Chris Calico, too.
So. We're about to get into some more music. You are listening to the Mid-Morning Grind. Check us out every Tuesday and Thursday. We out.
Squirt Lotto.